back into the 11 o'clock. We're actually on time. We're on time because we got to send our boy Jason Wilde off to, I think this is the last, one more media availability to get us a little glimpse of what this 2025 Packer football team is going to look like. So he's heading over. He will be joining us, I think, from the sidelines in a little bit. We're going to do trivia, but we talked about doing this yesterday, Hunter. And before we get into where's Wilde, am I crazy to think that with all that's happened this offseason, Packers have, you know, they lost Josh Myers. I would think when you look at the draft and what they've done, paying Banks and bringing in Hobbs, we should be better. Is it crazy for me to say Green Bay should be the favorite to win the NFC North right now?
Until after that week one game, then I think you can have that conversation, because there's a real chance that Detroit just doesn't skip a beat, even with losing their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, their center. Like, they could still continue to just be the team that they've been. And if they go in and they beat Green Bay and it looks like, oh, okay, Detroit's still the same Detroit Lions they've been these last few seasons, then it's Detroit's division to lose. But I have to wait until we actually see what the Lions are, because it is neck and neck between those two. Minnesota will take a step back. They've got a rookie QB. They're not going to be consistently as good as what they've been offensively.
So I would argue this. When you're a Green Bay Packer, there are teams. Philadelphia, kudos to them, world champs. Saquon's on the cover of Madden. Philly is the defending champions. I'm not putting Green Bay in the same stratosphere at this point with them. But I can't, as a former player and as a fan, look at what's happened this offseason, look at what we've done, looking at it from we are playing a team with new coordinators, without their center, at our place. And if you're going to bank it, I actually think the urgency level, and we're hearing urgency, Josh Jacobs, everybody's talking urgency. Game one is urgent then. I don't disagree. If Detroit comes in here and just rattles us around, I don't know how we can all look. Yeah, there's 16 more games and there'll be some growth and all. Yep, I get it. But if we don't beat Detroit that game, we haven't beaten them since Thanksgiving last year, 2 years ago now, I guess. I can understand your statement, but I'm saying when I factor everything in, and if this team wants to do something special, which they do, they need to be looked at as the, we don't need it right now, but I'm looking at it saying if we don't win the division this year, we're not progressing the way we need to as a football team and as an organization.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, the next step is, okay, go out there, win the division. Because then you get that home playoff game, you're in a much better spot then for everything if you win that division. I don't get why it's all of a sudden, like we were just talking about yesterday on the show, about how, you know, centers aren't really valued on the rest of the O-line, but then all of a sudden Detroit loses their center, and now it's like, oh my gosh, they've just lost this huge key piece to their offense. Like, if teams don't value the center the way that we were saying they don't yesterday, then why is it such a big loss for Detroit to lose their center?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what show you were listening to yesterday. I said that maybe the league doesn't value it financially, but that is the most important spot on the field from the O-line standpoint, because you can't function if you don't snap the ball. You have to have somebody that is smart as a whip, that gets the protections right, helps your center, your quarterback out. But Jason asked me, well, why does the center get paid the least amount? And the answer is because typically you don't have to win one-on-one pass blocking. That is the reason. And some guys, Jason Kelsey's made a bunch of money. You're going to see Ragnow, who just retired. He was one of the top three or four centers. That middle part of your O-line has to be strong with a center. Your guards need to be good too, but the center needs to be the spot. I understood the economics of it, but I have never said, and that's why this Elgton Jenkins scenario is going to be fascinating to watch, because Green Bay is putting its eggs in the basket of Elgton Jenkins taking over and running that center spot at a high level, along with their new left guard and along with Sean Ryan. That group needs to be good. And if you remember Detroit, I would say this kid is one of the guys that changed the culture with Dan Campbell. His toughness and what he's been, you can see clips. Obviously, they did a little, you know, some clips on Twitter yesterday of he busts his ankle up, finishes that game. That attitude and effort and what he brought to this team, that follows and trickles through the rest of your locker room. And it's that and the part, who is the replacement for him going to be? There's a lot of questions for a team that needs the play action and they want to get Gibbs going. You can all of a sudden start picking at the interior part of that line. Your running game and all that play action that Goff is so good at isn't going to be as effective. And you factor in that their offensive coordinator ain't there. All of a sudden, I'm not looking at it like, well, Detroit's in a better position than Green Bay. With everything said, I think Green Bay should be the favorite in the NFC North. And I was not, and it's not just this, but this was the tip of the iceberg that moved it along with some of the other things that have happened in Detroit.
Yeah, I just feel like I think they're both equal now because I think there's plenty of question marks still for the Packers. Like we've been talking about this wide receiver room. Like what actually happens here? Is Golden going to step in and make an impact? Is Jaden Reed going to take another step and be more consistent and be that main guy for the team? And with that, there's still enough questions where I'm like, I think they're both equal then as far as Detroit and Green Bay. Because it's, again, like until I see the Lions not actually perform, I can't say that, oh, yeah, they're going to definitely take a full step back. This could all of a sudden be what we start talking about Dan Campbell as being the best coach in the NFL and in the conversation with Andy Reid if the Lions all of a sudden go out there and keep performing well with everything that they've lost. If he goes out there and has a masterclass as a coach and puts together still a great team, then the narrative completely changes. And it's like, okay, Matt LaFleur's got to keep playing catch up to Dan Campbell.
Yeah, there's just too many subtractions. And I think when you look at Green Bay, there were no subtractions. What is the subtractions? Detroit had a they lost a lot of water out of their pool. They're no longer, I don't even know if they can dive. I think it has now become a wading pool. That's how much water they've lost. Green Bay, on the other hand, was a wading pool, and I think you could say they've added a bunch of gallons of water. Now, whether or not it's enough to jump in and you're going to feel good about it, those are questions that still have to be answered. But I'll promise you this, the water levels where it was, Detroit was dive in, have a party, enjoy the day, they now are going to have to be a heck of a lot more cautious with their pool party in comparison to Green Bay. I think Green Bay can now say, all right, let's go. Let's get it rolling. And Green Bay should, with their additions and with the subtractions, both with Minnesota and with Detroit. If we're not the favorite now, when are we going to be?
I think Green Bay's pool is plenty full. I think Green Bay's water is a little murky looking. It's a little questionable. Okay. It's like you walk up to the pool and you're like, oh, do I really want to go in there? Do I have any open wounds that I could all of a sudden get a staph infection from this? That's how I feel about the Packers pool.
Okay, well, I didn't think we'd bring staph infections.
Well, I'm just saying, like, for your analogy, you're
not
the king
bad.
Of analogies. Like, that's how I feel about the water. It's a little gross looking, but it's enough for like, yeah, I could jump in here, but I still have plenty of questions about what this water is.
Whose water's murkier? Who's got more question marks as we sit here when we're going to kick off in September 7th? Which team is going to have more questions?
It's the Lions. I think I want to say the Packers, but I'm trying to take away the fact that like this is the team we talk about all the time. So it's the Lions just because the leadership in that team is gone.
And I do think if Detroit comes in here and smacks us around and is more physical and beats us up, I think that will send ripples through that pool. And all of a sudden that water is going to get so murky, you ain't even going to want to dip your toes in it until you find a way out of it. So this game, I think, just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And by the time we get to September, I think it is going to be such a statement game. I cannot wait to do it. But before we do that, let's get to some of this Where's Wilde audio that we were going to play yesterday. Jason's going to be joining us from the sidelines here after we do trivia. But before we do that, Hunter, what do we got? Let's fire up the old Where's Wilde and play a little game here before we do it.
Since he often saves his best material for other shows,
if there's something
difficult we need to talk about? Let's have the conversation.
We're bringing the other shows to us.
I would be very leery if I was a Packers fan.
Or are we?
House takes a lot of days, man.
It's time to play Where's Wilde?
All right, we're going to start off with an impersonation that Wilde did.
You know, is really something, because Jesse really prides himself on being like our version of Frank Caliendo, which, by the way, he most definitely is not. He's not that good. But today, perfect opportunity for him to do a Terry Bradshaw. Like, he claims he does a Mark Tauscher. Mark Tauscher here! And then, when we need a Terry Bradshaw imitation, he foists it upon me. And that's it. I didn't sound anything like Terry Bradshaw. That was pathetic.
Where's Wilde?
I think he's with Wally and the boys down in Beaver Dam there. That's what that sounds like, because I think he's playing in. Jesse's a big star down at Beaver Dam. He is. I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame down there. I know in his mind he is. I think he's playing to Wally and the boys. That's where I think he's. That's where I think Wilde is in this point.
You're correct. That was from the Dam Sports Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicely done. Yeah, Corey and Wally are great. They are also incredible hype men. I feel great after my appearances on there. I do Thursdays at 4:15 with those boys, and I feel so fired up after every appearance
they
I do with
bring,
them.
I'll tell you what, they bring a ton of energy, and I love the fact that old Wally's out there doing stuff in the community. He's bowling. I'm sure he was up at the golf outing. He's doing all that good stuff. But Jason... you find out about Jason, he doesn't want to do something he doesn't want to do. And when you force and push, he actually ends up getting very ornery. Some days I love that, and that's why I keep pushing. All right, what's next?
Up next, a little bit of Jair conversation.
This really comes down to money and respect. This is a guy with a $16.15 million base salary that if his contract remained untouched, and he was still on the roster, he would be guaranteed that salary after being on the roster for the opening week. What I would presume to be the stumbling block here is the fact that if Jair Alexander feels like that's either not enough money financially or disrespectful, the amount that it is that would be in weekly roster bonus money, maybe there's part of him that's like, if I get roughly the same amount and I get a fresh start somewhere else, maybe that's better.
Where's Wilde?
That sounds like a Homer Hour conversation.
You're two for two. This is
wow.
This is uncanny. Either Jesse did a bad job, or you've been listening to a lot of the content the last like week or so.
Well, I think we can assure it's Jesse's done a bad job. That is,
yeah. I
the
was
Jair
to give the
piece
little
to
bit
this.
Of an out.
It is crazy how much conversation and oxygen the Jair story has taken, and we've seen reports. What I hope happens, the mandatory minicamps next week. Show up. Just come show up. And force Green Bay to release you or to let's get this thing hashed out. Because I don't know where they're at in the process. I know Xavier McKinney has been talking with him, and I think we've seen his teammates really like him. Otherwise, you don't go to bat and hear the things that you say. You can easily just kind of be mealy-mouthed and not say a ton. You can just be done with it. They want to have Jair back. And I think what Jason is saying there with Homer is there's a money thing that's going to be at issue. Jair has no leverage here. The only thing Jair can do to speed this process up, and maybe he just doesn't want to be at minicamps and he'll be fine coming in July, which if that is the case, okay, great. That's what it is. But at some point, something has to get figured out. And it's not so much for Jair. I want to see from a Packers standpoint, what's it going to look like if he is back? Who's going to play where? Where is Jair fitting this? And as you're letting these other guys take reps and Halfley's figuring it out, you have a lot of guys in that back end, especially at the, you know, whether it's Nixon or you have your safeties, where's Bullard going to play? There's a lot of question marks about where guys are going to fit. You don't want to sit there and not have all your puzzle pieces there until mid-August. Whatever this thing shakes out, At some point, let's get to a resolution. I want Jair to report, and I want to force the Packers' hand, and I want to have Jair's hand, put it on the table, and let's get to business here and figure it out one way or the other so we can move on and look forward to training camp with who we're going to have available to us on the roster.
Yeah, it just feels like the Packers just do something. Like, I'm kind of tired, and I know the fans are too, of the constant, like, well, there's this report, and we don't know, and like, yeah, it would make sense if he's back, but they could just get rid of him. Like, let's just do something. Like, some action is better than nothing.
That's not always the case, Hunter, but in this case, I think you need to have an action to spur a reaction in order to get some conclusivity to this scenario.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. And right now, I don't know. There are no deadlines. There's nothing that is saying we have to do this. Jair can kind of kickstart that by showing up because, as we've said numerous times on this show and on many of the other shows Jason's on, at some point you're not letting him in that building with a $16 million base salary. That needs to get reworked. They've already started that conversation. My guess is Green Bay is giving him a big old haircut, and I think Jair doesn't want to take that big of a cut. It's more of let's come to some kind of common ground, and if you can't find common ground, then let's move it along and be done with it. I'm going to stick with this 2-for-2. I like having some perfection in that. We're gonna move it along.
You're
going to
retire? You're not going to try and go for 3-for-3?
Well, it's 11-18.
I know.
Hey, oh boy, it's 11-18. I rave about clock management. I am a big proponent. If there's one thing I would go and do right now, I could be a great clock management guy for an NFL team or for a college team. I know when you should use timeouts. I want to be aggressive. I want to get to trivia because I don't know if we have our Vortex big voice guy back, but I know we have a great gift pack from Vortex, and we have a great trivia opportunity for you to win that package. And we're going to go with caller 8 because of the Brewers' 8-game winning streak and with Yelly hitting another bomb last night. Caller 8, you have to send out the number and do all that because I don't have that available. Caller 8, go ahead, Hunter.
844-770-3776.
Okay, I did remember that. That is pounded a minute. So 844-770-3776. We're looking for caller 8. Caller 8, what is the category today in case some people want to back out? Is it Badger trivia?
It is not. It is U.S. President trivia.
Oh, did you do it?
I didn't. Jesse did this one for me.
Oh, he did it in the jury room, sending it out. Very interesting. All right, caller 8, you could be next. Call in 844-770-3776. We will do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a
outstanding clock management from the great Mark Tauscher, who went 2-for-2 on Where's Wilde. Made some great points as I was driving to Lambeau Field on Jair Alexander's situation and accurately depicted that I don't like being told what to do. Got them all right. Hopefully Sparky in Sussex gets all the questions right in trivia. Trivia brought to you by Vortex Golf, rangefinders you can bet on. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We got music playing inside the Hudson Center. Can't beat that. Sparky, the category, which I didn't hear when I was driving, is U.S. presidents. Tausch, are you participating in these, or am I asking them all?
Why don't you take 1 and 3, and I'll take 2. How's that?
Sounds great. All right, Sparky, question number 1 from, well, theoretically Hunter, but we know it was actually Jesse who wrote these. Is this the real ones already know the answer to this one. Which U.S. president is the only one to serve as both president and vice president without officially being elected to either office? Is it Gerald Ford, Richard Milhouse Nixon, or Dwight D. Fault Eisenhower?
That would be Gerald Ford.
One for one.
The GOAT.
Sitting on Hunter's desk. Taush, you got question two.
All right, Sparky. Although he served as a lawyer and state legislator in Illinois for much of his adult life, Abraham Lincoln was actually born and raised in which U.S. state? Is it Pennsylvania, Georgia, or Kentucky?
I believe it was Kentucky.
You would be correct.
Oh, the Sparkster, two for two. All right, let's make it a clean sweep. Here's question three. In U.S. presidents, which of these founding fathers and former U.S. presidents did not die on July 4th, 1826? So apparently two of these three men died on the 4th of July, as opposed to being born on the 4th of July, like Tom Cruise. Which of these did not die on July 4th, 1826? Thank you. Is it George Washington, John Adams, or Thomas Jefferson?
Oh, boy. It's just a guess, Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson did indeed die on July 4th, 1826, and so did John Adams. The correct answer is George Washington. Sparky, you got two out of three. That means you got three of the possible four entries into our drawing on Friday for the Vortex Golf prize pack and, of course, the rangefinder. Rangefinders you can bet on. Thanks for playing, buddy. We appreciate you.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Love you a lot.
I love you guys.
Spark.
Sparky with three entries. We love Sparky. Packers getting ready. They are stretching now. We got about 11 minutes left in the stretch period. Then we'll be outside for the final segment of the show.
Oh, I was going to say, is it raining up there? I know big storms coming tonight, but
it is not. So they stretch inside and they do, you know, I don't remember specifically about your time playing there, old boy, but their calisthenics and stretching and warm up is much more extensive now. They're hoping that more means fewer injuries. Do you feel like that is something that has evolved in the NFL? Because I still think luck has a lot to do with whether you have major injury issues or not, as much as you want to do everything you can, like Footbath Friday under Mike McCarthy once upon a time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a movement really by the middle part of my career where yoga and massage and stretching, and we started doing movement prep where we would do the same movements to warm up, get your body revved up a little bit more than just static stretching. So I think that is only going to continue to evolve. And I don't know if the injury bug, the pulls and all that stuff, is it a lot less with this new formula? I don't know, Pat, that's just been a rite of passage that Pack. I know this. It's better now than when they used to have us have 5 weeks off. We'd report and we would have to run and pass a gasser test, which is down, back, the width-wise of a football field, which is 53.3. So it ends up being, what, 200 and, I don't know, you do the math on it, 220 yards. You do that four times, and you'd be basically just fried by the time you're done. Didn't matter how much you ran it. And then you'd go do a double day the next 3 days, and you had hamstring pulls, and you'd probably be like, well, yeah, no blank, blank. You just had us do this. Our muscles are fatigued, and now you're going to put us through three straight days of double days. You're probably going to end up pulling some muscles. So we've gotten a lot smarter in that regard.
Well, right now they're working. They're playing catch with some big medicine balls. They've got these. They look like bright green logs with handles on them that they put on their backs, and they're doing some lunges with them. So that is the workout that they're currently engaging in. They've got some more calisthenics to do for the next 8 minutes, and then we'll head outside for the start of practice, and we'll be there on Wilde and Tausch. We'll get to Whoa Hunter, but also updates from practice next. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Marshawn Lloyd looks like he is going to take part in today's practice. He did not take part in last week's open to the media OTA session. I don't see Elgton Jenkins. I don't see Jair Alexander yet. Maybe I'm just missing them, but I will keep my eyes peeled. I do see Warren Brinson, who is still not taking part, but it looks like Kenny Clark might be returning to practice as well after not taking part last week. We'll keep an eye on that while we play Whoa Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, Tausch, at the start of this hour, you went 2 for 2 on Where's Wilde. You have a chance to go 3 for 3. So I'm going to play the last clip, and we're going to see if you can go 3 for 3 on a Where's Wilde.
Well, what if I pull a Seinfeld and say I choose not to run?
Yeah, I heard that on my drive over while he was saying that I don't like people
this,
quit. Oh,
this
sounds like somebody doesn't want to be told what to do.
This brings up an interesting question. So at my niece's graduation party on Sunday, my younger brother, who is the brainchild of both headlines and did the video that you despised and didn't like and didn't support, he claims to be the king of Connect Four. So we get over to the house, and my older brother gets a big Connect Four board. You know, the ones, the big dog ones that they got, the you put them in and it's like an outdoor yard game type thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he's playing like Max, he's smoking Max, he's talking smack, he's up, up, up. So I go out there and I play him.
Hold on.
And I whoop him right away. And so then he's like, "Well, we got to go 2 out of 3. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't, you know, Connect Four is, it's a glorified game of tic-tac-toe. It's a little bit more complicated. If I don't play him again, am I a coward and I can walk out of there with a chip? Or do I have to play him again? Like, what is the, what's the proper etiquette?
Did he call you a coward? From your,
kinda. What is the etiquette there? Do I have to give him another game?
I don't think so, especially if he claims to be, you know, the Garry Kasparov of Connect Four. You get a win.
Did.
You walk out of there with your victory, and let him just stew about the fact that despite his
Who's Garry
big
Kasparov?
Talking, one of the greatest chess players in history.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Hunter.
So yeah, I think you did the right thing there.
No. I didn't tell you what I did. I'm asking you if this is how.
I think you would have done the right thing to walk out on your victory and let him stew in his competitive juices.
No, I'm a competitor, and I understood that he, you know, I had a look, but we didn't play a third game. We ended up just tying. He beat me late in the Connect Four process. Thought I had him again, which would have just completely demoralized him. Ended up pushing. We ended up being 1-1.
So you didn't even play a rubber match then if you're so competitive?
Well, at some point we had to leave. Everybody had to go home.
So how long are these games?
Hours,
I take
apparently.
A long time. No, I take a while. To. That was one of the things he was irritated about. I like to look through and process things. He just, you know, he's a natural talent when it comes to that. I'm more of, I got to grind it out.
So is it? It's the rule of, like, you hold on to the chip as long as you can before you let it go. Yeah, and then they drop it in. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
Whoa, Nelly!
So, in other words,
was that a filibuster?
Yeah.
No, if you were playing a second game with him, why don't you want to take on the third Where's Wilde clip?
I have no problem taking it on. I wanted to bring some perspective into the thought process of where I was. So, Hunter, bring it on. Let's go.
Okay. The third clip for Where's Wilde, Ken Tausch, have a perfect game.
I think Matt LaFleur would say that they could use a couple of veterans. I don't think he wants a team full of veterans, but I would agree with your premise that he would like to have a few more. But I think this is more an isolated, very old player who LaFleur likes very, very much. I mean, I would love to know if Matt LaFleur, again, with beers on the table, would admit that Mercedes Lewis is his favorite player he's ever coached. Because I think he probably would be telling the truth if he actually said that.
Where's Wilde?
Oh, I'm going to say Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is unbelievable. You went 3 for 3.
Let's go. Let's go. Now, we haven't talked about Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes Lewis has had a great career. Obviously, his time in Jacksonville, he was more of a down-the-field threat. But by all accounts, he was a great teammate, great leader, really good blocker, was able to make some plays on those little bootlegs. But this whole concept with Kay Adams of coming back to Green Bay because he's buddies with Matt LaFleur, no, it's time. Like, we don't, from our standpoint, I am already wondering how many reps we can get Musgrave. And I'm not even looking at Chipotle Ben. So it's got to be, we need more Tucker and more Musgrave. We don't need Mercedes around. I think it's, hopefully if he wants to play another year and somebody wants him, great, go get it, man. But I don't want it to be in Green Bay.
So that conversation, though, Tausch, was, I think, what Jen, Gabe, and Chewy were driving at, and then I think KBN asked about it, too. I think it was more about the fact that Matt LaFleur, you know, in that interview, Mercedes talks about how Matt LaFleur wanted him back for another year, and that didn't happen. And I told a story about, you know, Matt LaFleur getting a Mercedes Lewis jersey from his assistant coaches. That's kind of a gag gift because he liked him so much. And the conversation became, you know, why doesn't Goody have much interest in what Matt LaFleur may or may not want? And, you know, I wasn't thinking in those terms. I just thought, you know, you could use a veteran or two to help guys as they make the transition. But no, I don't think anybody was suggesting they should re-sign Mercedes Lewis for this season. I don't think so anyway.
When you're done radio, pretend it.
Yeah.
Whoa, so. Nelly!
Okay, I've got one final one here. Came across this on Twitter, and I had to look it up during the show to make sure that I had these numbers correct. But I feel like we don't give Tony Gwynn enough respect for the ridiculous athlete that he was. So Tony Gwynn played...
Whoa.
I'm saying my generation doesn't.
A lot of respect on this show.
I was just saying, there is nobody that gives Tony Gwynn more respect.
I'm saying collectively, the current generation does not. Because I didn't realize in college at San Diego State playing basketball, he had 596 career assists.
Most
in his 20-year Major League Baseball career, he only struck out 434 times. So 4 years of college basketball had more assists than he did in 20 years of baseball for strikeouts. That's ridiculous. Dude needs to be in the conversation as one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Yeah, unfortunately, Hunter, when you have a belly, you're never going to get put in that conversation. It's the unfortunate part.
It's disrespectful.
From a hitter standpoint, everybody, like, we still use his T-work stuff with our baseball team. It's Tony Gwynn is a genius. You talk to Greg Maddux, he'll tell you Tony Gwynn was an absolute savant when it came to hitting the baseball. The fact that he was a great point guard and had led San Diego State in assists. Tony Gwynn is one of my goats when it comes to a guy that I emulated when I tried to play baseball. That was the guy for me. Tony Gwynn
similar
is
left-handed
my joker
swing
when it comes to basketball, baseball. Like, Tony Gwynn's my guy. There ain't anybody going to go to battle more for Tony Gwynn. Maybe his family, but I'm going to be close second.
Yeah, he was always number two on my list behind Robin Yount. I always loved watching him play, and he was. They both wore number 19 for their respective teams, spent their entire careers with one team. So I am a Tony Gwynn fan as well.
You
I'm
need,
surprised.
Jason, Tony Gwynn was the GOAT, man. You
what
need
do I
to
need?
Do an article on Rasul Douglas. First off, has he signed with anybody yet?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think that'd be a bad
I think he was visiting Seattle at one point, I believe, but I don't know if he signed there.
Visiting and signing is a whole different story.
It's true.
He's telling Twitter that when they lost that playoff game to San Francisco, which was a travesty, the one where they blocked the punt and just one of the all-time, just a bad loss playoff-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me he didn't leave the stadium? He slept there in his locker? You need to do an expose and get an article about that because that is fascinating to me.
I've never heard that story. I'm not familiar with that story.
Rasul Douglas, and again, this could be an AI kangaroo bit, and it could just be, I don't know. But Jay Biggs says just sat in shock after the Lambeau game with this game, the San Fran game, and Rasul Douglas retweeted him, and he said, I didn't even leave the stadium until the next morning, just sat in my locker, too many emotions.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating. If he'd have been on the 2014 team, he would have stayed in Seattle and not taken the flight home?
Maybe.
What would he have done if he was on the 4th and 26th team?
You'd have to ask him. I don't know.
You went home, though, and you struggled to go to sleep. All right, that's it for Will Hunter.
Why does that bring you so much joy when you say
it? It doesn't bring me any joy.
You had a little blank grin on your face when you just did that.
You can't
yeah, there's a blank
see me.
Grin on your face. But I
mean,
can tell.
You can't even see me.
I've been around you long enough. I know when what your facial reactions are. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I take no joy in that. I would have liked to have seen your team make it to the Super Bowl. That was a great story that year. It seemed like you were a team of destiny after Oakland and after Al Harris's pick six against the Seahawks after Matt Hasselbeck's line about we want the ball and we're going to score. So I was definitely not rooting for a 4th and 26 meltdown like occurred. So, no, I take no joy in that. What I do take joy in is that you've done a great job once again of managing the clock. So we'll have a few minutes to talk about the OTA practice that is underway here at Reinitschke Field. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Our Crew.
12 stolen bases on the air. There he goes. Pitches high. Throw to second. Is right on the back. They got him. Oh, wow.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 100.5 ESPN.
We're in the heart of drill work at Packers OTA practice. A lot of Tausch, you could play 18 years in this league under this program, man. It's everything's like half speed. They only do the only time they go full speed 100% is during the 2-minute drill. Just throwing routes on air. Offensive linemen are working on their sets. God, you were born too early, buddy. Too early.
No,
it's pretty good way to live.
I was actually, I should have been playing in the 60s.
Oh, well, like Nitschke and Jerry Crane.
Yeah, I liked depriving myself. I have no problem with things being hard and difficult. And
that's
like,
true.
I actually think I would have functioned even better in the 60s, and it would have been great to be a part of the Lombardi era. Yeah, I get it, man. It's softer, it's easier, there's more money, and that would, I think, make a ton of sense for a lot of people. But if I had to, I don't know if I'd make it. They wouldn't let me play tackle in today's day and age. I'm not long enough, not tall enough. But I'll tell you this, I would have loved to have played in the 50s and the 60s. I think that era, sans the not getting enough water to drink, I think that era would have fit my personality probably better than anything now. This era doesn't fit where I'm at.
Smoking in the locker room after games, that would have been good for you. So the offensive line are, they're by me. They're going through with the bags and they're, you know, crashing into each other. The rumor is that we may talk to Zach Tom today. Maybe some of the defensive line, which obviously has been a talking point throughout the offseason, of they changed the defensive line coach. They would like to see being able to get more pressure with their front four, so they're not always having to send extra rushers. But to me, I want to know what Zach Tom thinks about kind of his lot in life. What would be,
yeah, that'd be fun.
if you were to put some requests out for me, what would be on the hit parade for you as we get ready for post-practice conversations?
Well, I am going to be curious how, if you do get to talk to Zach, kind of the mentality. You know, I think being the pro that he is, I think he'll handle it well, and he'll play the game the way it's meant to be played. But
he will. Mm-hmm.
I feel very confident that when he heard those things, and whether it was private or when the public stuff came out that his job is on the line, I'm sure he's like, yeah, bring it on, man. He knows where he's at. He knows he's a really good player. And I think he understands that last year he had some lapses. He was also injured, and there's excuses and examples of, you know, what happened. But Zach Tom will be the right – it's just going to come back to whether or not he is going to get his big fat extension before that. I'll be shocked if that isn't how it plays out. But Rashid Walker would also be fascinating. Both of those guys, along with Sean Ryan, that storyline, to me, is going to be the most interesting part of training camp. Backup quarterback is set. Jordan Love is set. I think the Jair, at some point, this thing's going to get resolved. The offensive line and how that all shakes out, and especially the left tackle spot, to me, is going to be the storyline to watch as training camp gets started.
And, of course, Chipotle Ben and what he's ready to do in year three in this offense, only because he's standing about 10 feet away from me. All right, we will see how today unfolds. I can confirm no Elgton Jenkins, no Jair Alexander. So as you talked about during Where's Wildy while I was driving here, not forcing the issue yet. We will see if that issue gets forced next week. It has been reported that he plans on attending the mandatory minicamp. We'll see. You know we'll be looking for that next Tuesday when we're out here at practice. All right, that's it for us today. Thanks to Hunter for stepping in for the jurist. Once again, as our cousin sub of the day, this has been Wildy and Tausch. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.